Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Rangana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Rangana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Rangana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Rangana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, Text 24. Word meanings, tataha, from there, tu, but, ati, vrajya, passing over, surashtram, the kingdom of Surat. Riddham, very wealthy. Sovira, the kingdom of Sovira. Matsyan, the kingdom of Matsya. Kudujangalan, the kingdom of Western India, up to the Delhi province. Cha also, Kalena, in the course of time. Tavat, as soon as Yamuna, bank of the river Yamuna. Upetya, reaching Tatra, there. Uddhavam, Uddhava, one of the prominent Yadus. Bhagavatam, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, the Darsha happened to see. Tata svati vrajra sura samridham. So vira matyan kujangalanscha. Kalena tavad yamuna upetya. Tatrodhavam bhagavatam dadarsha. Tatastvati vrajya surasamritham. Savira Matsyan Kulujangalamscha. Kalena Tavad Yamuna Mupetya. Tatrodhavam Bhagavatam Dadarsha. Tatastvati vrajya surasamridham. Savira matyan kulujangalamsya. Kalena tavad yamunamupetya. Tatrodhavam bhagavatam dadarsha. Tatastvati vrajyam surasam riddham. Savira matsyam kujangalamsya. Kalena tavad yamuna mupetya. Tatrodhavam bhagavatam. Translation. Thereafter he, this is Vidura, thereafter he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sovira, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kudujangala. At last he reached the bank of the Yamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. This is the Prabhupada's purport. The tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district in Punjab, East India, is considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was at Mathura in the house of his maternal uncle, Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father, Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy, in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Prema jana churita bhakti vilochanena santa siddhaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who are in ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shyamasundara Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Yamuna and met each other. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. This chapter is called Questions by Vidura, so this is leading up to those questions. Hearing a little background history about Vidura. He's, of course, a great exalted soul, incarnation of Yamaraj, one of the Mahajans. The Mahajans know Dharma, as explained in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. Very few people really understand Dharma. These 12 Mahajans, they understand it very intricately. So he's one of those great persons. Actually, Yamaraj is also called Dharmaraj. He understands Dharma. What is Dharma really? It means how one should act. So how one should act is described in the Vedic literature. So they're all experts at that. So Vidura is one of those persons. He has a very responsible post as Yamaraj. And he played a significant role in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And we're hearing how he went on pilgrimage. He left before the battle of Kurukshetra. It was too disturbing to him. He could see what was going to take place. So he left and went on pilgrimage. Of course, he was offended by Duryodhana. And he left because Duryodhana, he, of course, was envious of the Pandavas. He was more or less, they were ruling. When the Pandavas were away, they were young and they were the Dhritarashtra and his sons more or less took over the rule of the kingdom. So Duryodhana wanted to stay in that position. When the Pandavas returned, and when they came out of the mountains, came to Hastinapur, then King Yudhishthira was crowned the king or the prince regent. He was going to be crowned the king. And of course Duryodhana didn't like that, and Dhritarashtra always supported him. Dhritarashtra was influenced by his affection for his son, who was really not worthy of it, because he was envious of the devotees of the Lord. So Vidura tried to counsel his brother Dhritarashtra, who was blind. We read earlier he was blind spiritually and materially, but he didn't listen. There's an interesting chapter in the Bhagavatam, actually, 10th canto, where Krishna sends a Kura to Hastinapur to check out what's happening with the Pandavas. How are they being treated there? by Dhritarashtra, who's sitting on the throne, and like pretending to sit on the throne. And Akura spent some months there interviewing. He was doing interviews, asking, of course, Kunti and the Pandavas and others how they were faring under Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana's influence. So it wasn't a good report. Akura went to Dhritarashtra and told him, you should treat these Pandavas nicely. Yudhishthira is the proper heir to the throne, and because of your son, you're mistreating him. So at the end of that chapter, there's a famous line by Dhritarashtra. He says, yes, what you're saying is true, but it doesn't sit in my heart. I can't accept it. That's our misfortune sometimes. We hear good instruction, but we say, I just can't do it. That was Dhritarashtra, because of his love for his son. He said he couldn't do it. So anyway, so Vidura, after he was insulted by Duryodhana, then he left, went on pilgrimage. So he actually went on pilgrimage for quite a long time. We hear about how he traveled all over India. Some of the places are mentioned. There's one verse that listed a bunch of holy places on the bank of the Saraswati River. Saraswati River, of course, was very prominent. It's very prominent in the Vedic literature, in the Vedas, in the original Vedas, major river. Now she has disappeared. So Vidura traveled all over. Actually, it seems like he traveled for something like 36 years, from the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra till the time of the disappearance of Lord Krishna, which was 36 years later, when Krishna was 125 years old. So Krishna was something like 90 years old when he was at the Battle of Kurukshetra. So it was just before that when Vidura left on pilgrimage. He was traveling on pilgrimage for a very long time. And he eventually, maybe more than once, that's a lot of time to be traveling, but he was in Western India, the region of Prabhas. Prabhas is in the general area of Dwarka. And he heard of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty at that time. So then he left and started traveling east. And that's what we're hearing today, the different places that he traveled through. Now some of these begin with, like it says, through Western India known as Kudu Jangala. Now Dwarka itself, it's in the Anartha province. You'll hear this sometimes when Krishna's traveling. He finally entered the Anartha province. And to his capital in Dwarka. One interesting thing about Dwarka is that the place itself, the holy place, has apparently always existed. Before Krishna built his fort there in the sea, there's a pastime or an incident that's told in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's actually in one of the commentaries. Where one time, this was in relation to Lord Vamanadeva. You know, Vamanadeva is guarding Sutala for Bali Maharaj. So one time the sages at Dwarka, this was long before Krishna's time, there were sages living there and practicing meditation, and they were being disturbed by Rakshasas. So they deputed one of them, Durvasa, to go to Vamanadeva and ask him for help, the incarnation of the Lord. So of course Vamanadeva, he had promised Bali Maharaj that he's his doorkeeper, he's a servant. He's just acting as a servant of Bali Maharaj. So when Durvasa Muni went to Vamanadeva and asked him, can you come and help us with these Rakshasas that are disturbing our meditation? So Vamanadeva said, well, you have to ask Bali Maharaj. I'm his servant. So he asked Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj said no. So Vamanadeva didn't leave. Because Bali Maharaj said, no, he's not leaving. I'm not letting him go. So anyway, so this is an indication that Dwarka has existed for a long time. There's another interesting, just a line in a verse. I'm pretty sure it's in the Bhagavatam, but maybe I read it in the Gopal Champa. I'm not 100% sure. But it says when Uddhava, of course, Krishna sent, shortly after Krishna was in Mathura, then he was, of course, feeling separation from the gopis, and he understood what they were feeling in separation from him. So, actually, it was after he returned from his Gurukul days, which wasn't very long. It was less than a year that he was in the Gurukul, it seems like. But it says that Uddhava arrived there from Dwarka. So that surprised me when I heard that. Oh, Krishna hasn't even built Dwarka yet. So it says that he arrived from Dwarka. So there were devotees, there were people living there in that area. In fact, in some places it said that there was at least a time when Dwarka was within the Mathura district. So it was under the rule of whoever was ruling in Mathura was also, you know, had sovereignty over Dwarka all the way. That's quite a ways away from Vrindavan to Dwarka. But that's stated. So in any case, so here now, Vidura, he's traveling from that area. And of course, with a heavy heart, he's learned that the Yadu dynasty has been destroyed. He's feeling separation. And so he's making his way to Vrindavan. And that's where he's going. And Uddhava is already there in Vrindavan, and they're going to meet there. So Prabhupada, because some of these different places are mentioned, Prabhupada, of course, he brings up the point that this is a very sacred land. Now, in one sense, you could say anything, that whole Western India, because Krishna traveled through it. But Prabhupada is especially focusing, it seems to be, on Brajamandala. But that whole area, we hear about Krishna. There's another verse that talks about Krishna leaving Hastinapur and going to Dwarka, and it also lists many of these different places, that the journey, the route that he took to get there. And there it said that he had a big procession. He had all his wives with him. Of course, he went several times. Regularly, he would go to Hastinapur. Sometimes he brought all his 16,108 wives with him. And the Pandavas were so opulent, they were able to host them all. That's a lot of atithis showing up at your door one time. But they were able to accommodate them very luxuriously, all of Krishna's wives. So then it says when they were returning, of course, it was a great procession. His army had at least one Akshohini with him, and soldiers were with him, and so many. I just can imagine the support staff you would need to have that many people travel from one place to another across in Western India. So there, one thing it said in relationship to that journey is that in the evening, they stopped for the evening rituals. So they had an evening program every night, basically. That's stated there in one of the verses. And so it was, of course, it was very beautiful, and Krishna's traveling. So he traveled through there, and he also, again, he traveled regularly, a number of times, to Hastinapur, so he traveled through there. And now when he was in Vrindavan, we don't hear, he doesn't leave Vrindavan, of course, until he leaves, when he goes to Mathura, that's the first time he leaves Vrindavan. When he's 10 years old, 10 and some months old, Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura. That's the first time he leaves. And of course, he never returns, at least to ordinary vision, he never returns. So that ties in with the point that Prabhupada is bringing up here. Very interesting sentences in this purport today. When he mentions, well, he says that Krishna was reared by his father, foster father, Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna appeared both in Mathura and Vrindavan at the same time. So Nanda Maharaj is actually his real father, probably just refers to him. Because on the surface, on a certain level, he was born in the house of Vasudev and Devaki and then transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. But we understand from other scriptures that Krishna was born simultaneously in both places. But in any case, he was reared there in Vrindavan. And then with the mention of Vrindavan, Prabhupada says, there are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy, in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. This is quite an interesting thing for Prabhupada to say. There, lingering, an interesting word probably used, lingering. Usually the word lingering means just hanging out, not doing anything useful. No lingering or no loitering. It's like loitering, right? So no, they were lingering there. So what lingering means, they stayed there. They're not going anywhere out. They're staying there. Many devotees, they take a vow never to leave Vrindavan. And one reason they're not leaving is Vrindavan because they're searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? He Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chilalite Nanda Sunukuta Shri Govardhana Kopara Patale Kalindivane Kuta Goshanta Viti Sarvato Vrajapure Kedair Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyuga Sri Jiva Gopalako. Of course, especially the Goswamis are famous Vraja lingerers. They were hanging around Vrindavan, looking for Krishna. Where are you, oh Krishna? Where are you, son of Nanda Maharaj? Where are you, Radha, Lalita, Vishaka? Where are you? In ecstasy, they're looking for them. And the tradition was carried on since their time. Even Prabhupada is saying, when he is writing this, in his time, there are still devotees on that level, on that level of spiritual advancement, that they're searching for Krishna. They've given up everything else. That's the idea. They're staying in Vrindavan. We know, we see today there are Babaji's who are actually devotees of Krishna, have love for Krishna, live very austerely, chanting day and night. There are still people like that. And that's really the goal. That's our goal. We want to become like that. Not necessarily that we live there and imitate them, but our hearts have to reach that level of spiritual advancement. Prabhupada speaks more about this here. He says, it is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land. It seems that, I was thinking when I read this, that Prabhupada may be saying, don't think that you can just go there and Krishna's there hanging out somewhere and you'll be able to see him because he's there. Of course he is there. But don't think that you can just go there without any qualification and search for Krishna behind some bush, as Prabhupada would say. Don't think you can find Krishna hiding in the bushes of Vrindavan. So there are, but he says, such devotees, devotees who are in ecstasy in searching for Krishna, ecstasy. They have real bhava. They have attained that high state. Bhava or rati. These words are used synonymously. Bhava and rati. That's the stage of ecstasy. And that stage comes before prema, or Prabhupada calls it the preliminary stage of prema. So to actually have love, when we talk about love of Godhead, we're talking about this exalted state, prema, above bhava, above ecstasy. When your body becomes so saturated with transcendental happiness that it, all kinds of strange things happen to it. There were the ashta sattvika vikar, trembling and rolling on the ground and all of these things. When Lord Chaitanya was explaining to the Mayavadis at Varanasi why he wasn't associating with them, all of the Mayavadi sannyasis, all the sannyasis in Varanasi were associating together, but Lord Chaitanya was staying separate. So it bothered them. So they were criticizing him, or at least some of the followers of Prakashananda Saraswati. They would report to Prakashananda Saraswati, because Prakashananda asked about him, or he told about him. So why doesn't he associate with us? And they said, oh, he just hangs out with these bhavukas, which means sentimentalists. They're always just chanting and dancing, and they don't study Vedanta, or he doesn't study Vedanta. So when Lord Chaitanya was explaining, because Prakashananda Saraswati asked him, why don't you associate with us? Why don't you study Vedanta with us? So of course he explained. First he said, Nahiko Vedantadikar. He said, my spiritual master told me I wasn't qualified to study Vedanta. He told me just chant Hare Krishna. And a couple of things, couple of important verses. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said he taught Trinadapi Sunichena Tadoravi Tudivasa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahadi. Chant in this mood. You'll always be able to chant. Keep this around your neck. And he said he also taught me this important verse. Told me to always remember this. Evam vrata pratiya supriya nama kirtya jatanurago dutta chitta uchara sachiti rarati rauti gayati unmalavan rititi lokabhaya. This is a verse from the 11th canto, spoken by one of the Navayogendras to Maharaj Nimi. So the verse says that when one chants Hare Krishna very carefully, diligently, with a vow, vrata, supriya nama kirtya, chant the holy name with a vow and with love, with devotion, then one will advance, gradually advance, to the stage where asatyati rauti rauti gayati, one will laugh, dance, cry, and fall on the ground. Lokabhaya. Lokabhaya means outsiders. It says not caring for outsiders, not caring for what other people think. So this is the fruit. He said, my spiritual master told me to remember this verse. So Lord Chaitanya said, so I chanted, and this is what happened to me. But actually, I was concerned. I asked my guru, why am I acting like a madman by chanting this? You told me to chant, so I'm chanting, but I'm acting like a madman. So then he taught me this verse. This is actually what's supposed to happen when you chant Hare Krishna. You're supposed to come to that stage of advancement in spiritual life. It's very high. I always think how many light years away it is to attain that high level. So anyway, so this is the, I'll read a little more here. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. Of course, this is that stage of eagerly searching, laulasa, lolium, having that, I just have to see Krishna, I have to get Krishna's association, of course, as demonstrated by the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan, that eagerness to see Krishna, to serve him, that's why they want to see him, actually, is to serve him. But we have to have some of that too. That's why we practice Krishna consciousness. We want to serve Krishna, we want to love Krishna. We know there's nothing more than that. There's nothing else desirable. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, take shelter of the holy name as your only business. I often think of this. What does it mean to take shelter of the holy name? Take shelter. One thing it means is that we're always faced with challenges in life. So where do we turn for shelter? Do we go, you know, just eat 57 rasgullas? Where do we go for shelter? When we need something, right? We're all addicted to this material world, unfortunately. So we have these urges that are very strong. So where do we take shelter? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, take shelter in the holy name. That's where you'll find solace. That's the only place you'll ultimately find solace, is in the shelter of the holy name, in service to Krishna, devotional service in general, but especially in chanting the holy name. So we should be eagerly searching for Krishna also in that mood. Let me find Krishna and then I'll be satisfied. Without that, coming to that end, we'll never find satisfaction. So here Prabhupada also, so he says, devotees eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained. Because we can explain it theoretically. Because Krishna is everything. He's the soul of our soul. And he's not different from the search for him. Anything in relation to him. That is Krishna. So anyway, he says, how this is so cannot be explained, but is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. So it can be explained in the sense of jnana. We can maybe get some philosophical understanding of it. But to really understand it requires vijnana. I was just hearing somebody explain, because it's interesting in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my birth and activities never takes birth again. So you might think, well, I know that. We all know that. Prabhupada taught us all that. So we know the transcendental nature. So this was actually Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. He has the name Vigyan. He says, this isn't ordinary Gyan we're talking about here, theoretical understanding. It means actually knowing Krishna. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. You know Krishna by bhakti, by pure bhakti, by prema is really how you ultimately know Krishna. That's what it means to know the transcendental nature of Krishna's name and activities. You have to awaken your love for him, then you get vijnana. That's real knowledge. Otherwise, just theoretical knowledge, that's not good enough. So many scholars may have philosophical knowledge, technical knowledge of so many things. I often think about this. There are scholars of Krishna, scholars of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, know a lot more than we do about Lord Chaitanya and about... they know all the books written about him. They know so many things about their Lord Chaitanya's associates, but they have no devotion. So what is the value of all that jnana? So jnana has to progress into vijnana by service. So let me continue this. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan is pure God consciousness. In pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotees than seeing him face to face. So this is one of those paradoxes in Krishna consciousness. Separation from Krishna. That's the highest thing. Separation is higher than even being with Krishna, which sounds crazy. Because the devotee wants to have Krishna's association because of the intensity. The idea is, I think a simple way of stating it is that in a spiritual world, everything is ecstasy, but the intensity of separation makes that ecstasy much stronger. So here Prabhupada says that ecstasy of separation and searching for Krishna, it brings more pleasure than seeing him face to face. But then in the next sentence he says, such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment. So it's better than seeing him face to face, but actually they're always seeing him face to face, in one sense. And of course we know that even philosophically there's no separation. They're always with Krishna internally. They don't have to be sitting next to him. But that aspect of the Leela is there. It's unlimited. Different aspects, different facets of Krishna's Leela that can be relished like a multifaceted gem. So seeing him face to face, being with him, and being absent from him, and seeing him, in a sense, face to face within the heart. Of course, that's what the Brahma Samhita tells us. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva rijayishu vilokyanti yam shama sundaram achincha guna swarupam. Well, this verse specifically mentions Shyam Sundar. Prabhupada liked that name, Shyam Sundar. You'll see that actually many places Prabhupada refers to Krishna as Shyam Sundar. Even sometimes in the verses where Shyam Sundar's name is not there, Prabhupada will refer to him as Shyam Sundar. So the devotees can see with the eyes of love. Actually, without the eyes of love, we're all blind. We're all dhritarashtras. We're not really seeing. We're not seeing the reality. Krishna's everywhere. We're not seeing because we don't have eyes anointed with the salve of love. So Prabhupada says here, both Uddhava, Vidura and Uddhava were such exalted devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Yamuna and met each other. So they both went to the Yamuna for solace. Krishna has left this world, and they're both... Now Uddhava, actually, he's been instructed by... He was there when Krishna left this world. He was there at that final scene. with Maitreya. And of course, Krishna gave Uddhava some service. He said, you go to Bhadarika Ashram and you speak Krishna Katha to the great sages there, Narayana Rishi and all his associates. And so there'll be a brief conversation, well, not so brief, a couple of chapters between Vidura and Maitreya, Vidura and Uddhava. Then Uddhava wants to hear more, Vidura wants to hear more from Uddhava, but Uddhava says, well, Maitreya was there. I have some service to do, so you go hear from him. So in any case, probably sort of whetting our appetite here by saying these two exalted devotees, just imagine a meeting of Vidura and Uddhava. Wouldn't you like to be sitting there and listening? Well, we get the chance to, actually, because it has been saved for us, has been recorded for our benefit, so we can look forward to hear. Wonderful chapters. I love these early chapters of the third canto. Very, very nice. We get a wonderful summary. And there's a lot of bhava, a lot of feeling when Uddhava is speaking. Actually, when Vidura first asks Uddhava about, we'll see this verse coming up, when he asks about, because Vidura already knows that the Yadus have all left and all Krishna's associates have left, but still he's asking Uddhava if he knows about that, what happened. He's asking, how is this person, how is that person? So Uddhava doesn't respond right away because he just goes into ecstasy. He actually goes to the spiritual world internally. He's so moved. Then he recites this wonderful line. He says, the Son of the World, Lord Krishna, has set. And our house has been, house means the house of the Yadu dynasty. Our house has been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? So, what can I say? You know, everything is, it's the end of the world, basically. So there's a lot of, Uddhava speaks with great emotion when he talks about these pastimes of Krishna, how he's feeling separation from him. So that's going to be coming up in the upcoming classes. So the verse again. Thereafter he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Solvira, and Matsya, and through western India known as Kuru Jangala. At last he reached the bank of the Yamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. Happened to see, that nothing happens by chance. The darsha, he happened to meet, by Krishna's arrangement, they happened to meet. Okay, any questions or comments?
You said that the feelings of separation was what, the highest ecstasy? Mm-hmm. Or I've heard before, but I've also heard some devotees say that feelings of separation is only to increase
the ecstasy of the sambhog.
Of meeting, yes.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Part of it. Yeah.
Explain some more.
It's all one. Yeah. Actually, it sometimes is stated that way, which to me seems a little odd. Actually, it sounds like a relative understanding. Like they need the separation in order to increase the ecstasy of being with Krishna. Well, that's already in the material world. It's like you need to be hungry in order to enjoy your food. But somehow that is a reflection of the spiritual world, I suppose, is the way you could say it. It exists purely there, that kind of relativity, transcendental, what we would think of as a relative thing. Why would the gopis need to, you know, be separated from Krishna to, because already their love is at a peak. Of course, that's also part of the paradox of spiritual life. Everything is perfect, but everything keeps getting better. So it's at the highest pitch, but it keeps getting higher and higher. So that's the spiritual world. We can't grasp it ultimately. But we have Srila Rupa Goswami, especially, has explained these things. The other thing is that, you know, we're really supposed to advance to these higher levels. I had sort of a backup class I was going to talk about. You know, the Ado, Shraddha, Tato, Sadhu, Sangha, Tabhajana, Kriya, all these different steps. Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary in the second chapter of the first canto, Divinity and Divine Service, beginning, I think, with Sushu, Sho, Shuddhanasya, Vasudeva, Kataruchi, so the whole series of verses, he aligns those with all these different steps. He says, this is this one represents Ado, Shraddha, this one represents Bhajana Kriya, and so on, all the way up to the highest level of prema. And actually, he, at the end of his purports, maybe I'll just read this, at the end of his purports in that section, where he summarizes all this, he has himself written a verse, Sanskrit verse, to summarize, and he adds a couple of steps in there, especially at the end. This is his verse, it's a beautiful verse. Satam Kripa Mahatseva, actually two verses, Shraddha Guru Padashraya. So these are, now we have Ado, Shraddha, Tatu Sadhu Sangha. So this is, that's Rupa Goswami. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with his list of steps. Satam Kripa Mahatseva, Shraddha Guru Padashraya. You can probably understand some of these words, I hope. Bhajaneshu Spriha Bhaktir Anartha Pagamastata. Nishta ruchir rata sakti rati premata darshanam. So after rati, I'll go back to this. Harir madhuryana anubhava ityarta shus chatur dashe. So he gives 14 steps. So after he goes to, so nishta ruchi rata asakti. So nishta ruchi asakti. Then rati, so rati, as I said, bhava. So you know these higher stages. So first nishta. Nishta is, by the way, connected to nityam bhagavata sevaya, right? Nishta. What is it? How does the verse begin? Nishta prayishu abhadeishu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So that verse is about nishta. Naishtiki, the word is there, naishtiki in that verse. So that's nishta, then ruchi, then asakti, then rati, then prema. So then after prema, he says, ata darshanam. After prema, then you get darshan of Krishna. That's when you get to see Krishna, after prema. That's the next step. Rupa Goswami goes up to prema, then Vishwanath Chakravarti goes a step further, darshanam, and then harir madhurya nubhava. Then you get actual, anubhava means, this is again like vijnana, actual realization. What do you get realization of? Harir Madhurya, the sweetness of Hari, the sweetness of Krishna. You get, that's when you really experience the sweetness of Krishna, when you get to prema. Because we know actually above prema there are these other steps also that we hear about. Raga, Anuraga, Pranaya, these different bhava, mahabhava, and so on, this different second bhava. So in any case, we're supposed to be trying for that. As I said, it seems like it's light years away. But Uddhava and Vidura, they're on these very high level. It's hard to put, place them exactly where they are, but they certainly had prema for Krishna, especially Uddhava, a very close associate of Krishna. Krishna said that Uddhava is not different from me in any way. His glorification of Uddhava. So these exalted souls. So what they're experiencing, get back into the question about whether Sambhoga or Viraha is higher. They're both higher than the other. They're equally the highest thing. And they're all meant, there's the churning that goes on. That's the idea, the churning of the nectar goes on. And the Bhagavatam is filled with that nectar. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Ruhura Hura Sika Bhubi Bhavukaha. It's funny, this word Bhavuka, which is in that verse, third verse of the Bhagavatam, we're told to be Bhavukas. So that's the word that's used in Bengali for sentimentalists, people chanting, just sentimentalists, not serious students of the Vedanta. That same word is used there in Bengali. These people are all just Bhavukas. So we think, well, that's good. I want to be that. I'm told to do that by Vyasadeva in the third verse of the Bhagavatam. drink the Bhagavatam, drink the nectar of the Bhagavatam, the ecstasy that's there. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. When Vidura was speaking with Dhritarashtra, and you mentioned that he said, hey, the Pandavas are the rightful rulers, Dhritarashtra understood in his heart, but ultimately couldn't take action. And you mentioned this is a parallel for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It resonates very strongly in the present moment in my life, because certain pieces of advice have been given, and I know in my heart without a doubt that this is correct, but it's like this recurring theme with this specific advice relative to this one or two things in my life, and it's consistently impeding me from making any source of progress, and I generally would love to know, what can I do? I sometimes feel helpless, and yeah, it's been a significant challenge. So.
Yeah, we all face that challenge. We have these deep, deep anarthas. I always think we hear that, we tend to hear that, in our last life, I must have done such and such from suffering. But we have karma going back millions of lifetimes. This is indicated, at least in the story of Ajamil, because it said by chanting he was able to get rid of the sinful results for millions of lifetimes. That means we must have karma going back millions of lifetimes. So in these things, they're very deeply, it's like written in indelible ink in our consciousness. It's hard to get them out. So the only solution, of course, is to keep trying. We can't give up. That's it. And we have to pray to Krishna. Prayer is so important. We have to cry to Krishna. And we just keep trying. It's going to take time. Now, of course, Lord Krishna, he says to Uddhava in the 11th canto, says a devotee may understand that I have these problems. I keep falling back my old ways. But as long as he's still favorably disposed toward me, you might say, if he's still my devotee, like Apichet Sudaracharo, then he'll make it eventually. I'll make sure that he does. Yoga Kshema Bahamyaham. I was just looking up this verse because generally the acharyas, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So this kind of ties into this. They generally refer to this as Krishna takes care of the material needs of the devotees. That's usually what the commentators say. But Vishwanath actually gives two. He says, Krishna does that, of course, but he says he also helps the devotee. He doesn't specify that he fills in the lack, which is then kind of the way we think, well, maybe if I get there 50%, Krishna will cover it. But what he does say that Krishna helps the devotee. So he wants to help us, actually. I often think how Krishna is the Ishvara, right? Krishna is he's the Ishvara. So what is the nature of the Ishvara? Kshatriya has Ishvara Bhava, which means when there's some problem, he wants to take control. That natural tendency is there. If you have a group of people and there's catastrophe, the person who has Ishvara Bhava says, okay, you do this, you do that, we're going to do this. So Krishna has that. So it's like he's just waiting for us. He wants to take control. He has that Ishvara Bhava too. He's just saying, oh, he's waiting for us to say, yes, Krishna, okay. I'm not holding you off any longer. You can come in. You can come in and do what you want to do. But that's part of our conditioning also. We're holding Krishna off because we're afraid. Right? One of the main things about Krishna consciousness, it says it takes care of your fear. And it destroys fear. Shoka moha bhaya. Bhakti gets rid of shoka moha bhaya. So one of those fears is, of course, fear of surrendering to Krishna, giving up my ahankar, nothing dearer to us than our ahankar. But we have to, that's why we have to steadily practice, then gradually, it takes time. And so that's our only hope. Krishna's our hope, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Parampara, our Guru, all these blessings that we've been given. all these potent cures that we have, these potent medicines that we have, Oshadha, given to us by our transcendental doctors, we have to keep taking them.